Good morning. You doing good today? All right. Grab your Bibles, open to the book of John. Today we'll be in John 16. I just wanted to say, I know Scott did on his announcements, but thank you for yesterday, everyone that served. And I tell you, it was a great time just getting to know many people and to have great conversations. And I look forward to see how the Lord will continue to use those. One of the things that being there yesterday did, at least in my heart, and seeing all of the people that walked by, is just to be reminded of the amount of people that we are surrounded by. The amount of people that are in the community of Skytook and in the surrounding areas, and that we need to be reminded that there is still work to do, and there are people that we are to reach, and the only way that will happen is if we are intentional. And as we started on this journey back probably 10 weeks ago, it's crazy it's been that long already, but as we have started in discussing who we are in Christ and what we are, who we are to be, and how we are to pursue our walks with Him to become like Him, we began talking about the Israelites and how they had a decision to make at the Jordan and whether or not they were going to trust God and go in to claim the land that He has promised. And we saw in them that they retreated from the mission. And they said that the people were too big, the cities were fortified, there is no way that they could go in and conquer the land. And so in retreating from God, because of the size of the mission, they wandered in the wilderness until they died. And I remind us of that because I believe as a church, not just single or just individually, First Baptist Skytook, but as a church as a whole, I believe we are in the midst of a decision. Are we going to trust God and His power and His strength and His plan and go and give our lives to the mission in which He has called us to? Or, like the Israelites, will we retreat? Because if we retreat from the mission, we will continue probably to pay the bills. We will continue to see maybe even gain some knowledge in our own lives. But if we're not careful, we will just wander until we die. And I just want you to know as pastor that my prayer, my desire, my heart is that I personally will not just wander and that we as a church will not just wander until we die, but that we will give our lives for the sake of discipling others, of making disciples, and that ultimately it would reach to the ends of the earth. Amen? And so that's going to take all of us, and it's going to take you individually to see that this mission is for you. It's not just me. It's not just staff. It's not just the missionaries. It's not the SEAL Team 6 Christians in this room, right? It is for you. You. And we will see this truth as we continue diving into the Word of God. There is a mission. The mission is clear. We have talked about it. As we looked at Moses had died and Joshua was the one who was going to lead the people on into the promised land. And the promise that God gave him was a great encouragement. Be strong and courageous. And I just want to say from the very beginning, everything that God will call you and I to do, there will be an element of fear to it because it will require faith. Okay? There is a huge difference between you and I as followers of Christ and those of this world. We are people of faith, meaning that we have faith in a God to do things that only He can do. And so our lives should reflect that. And so He told Joshua, be strong and courageous. Honor the word and be committed to the commandments that have been given. Do not turn to the right or to the left, but instead uphold them. Have them upon your mind. Be strong and courageous. And He says, and I will be with you Oh, such great encouragement, right? Here is the encouragement that God is giving Joshua is you can go into the promised land, conquer the giants, the cities that are fortified, and you can only do it. Here is the encouragement that I give. I will be with you. Now, for you and I, what does that mean? We're not Joshua, right? The same encouragement he gave to Joshua, he gives to us. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and I will be with you until the end of the age. Do you see that the same promise that Joshua has is the exact same promise that you and I have in this mission that he has called us to? Is that he is there with us. Now, today we're going to see even more specifically as to how he is with us and how and why we can be about giving our lives to this. So in honor of the word of God, if you would stand with me, this is John chapter 16. We will start in verse 1. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. All these things. So all these things he has said previous to 16. So that means all of 14, or really 13, 14, and 15, all these things he has said to keep his disciples from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Father, as we have opened your word and as we hear from you, Lord, give us eyes to see. As you have promised the Holy Spirit, the Helper to come, help us even this morning to acknowledge your presence right here. Not only in this room, but in us who believe in you. And so, God, I pray that you would convict, as your word has just said, that we would be convicted of things in our lives that are unrighteousness. You convict our hearts of things that do not look like the life of Jesus. And that, Father, that we would leave here empowered, changed, transformed because of your word and of your truth. And so, God, speak to us in this time. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Here in verse 1, he says, I have said these things to you to keep you from falling away. And I don't want to spend a whole lot of time re-talking about the things that he has said that we have looked at over the last several weeks, but just in the way of reminder, he has said that he is the vine and you and I are the branches. Meaning that as we hold on to the vine, as we are connected, as we abide in him, that the life of the vine, the life of Jesus, will be pushed out through the branches, which are you and I, and which means that you and I should look like, our lives should look like, the life of Jesus. And so over the last several weeks, we have looked at Jesus's life was all about relationships. It was about his intimacy with the Father. And so you and I, our life should look like intimacy with the Father. We should be abiding in him. And that is the word that we have used to talk about this, is the word abide. Our lives, we should be abiding with Jesus each day, each moment of every day. The next thing that we see in Jesus' life in the way of relationships is that Jesus devoted his time, specifically his time of ministry, with just a small group of men. He was connected to them, and that's the word that we have used here at First Sky Took, is the word connect. You and I should be connected to one another. We should be challenged and encouraged and sharpened by each other. We should be holding each other accountable, pointing each other to the truth of God's word. And then the last relationship we see in Jesus' life is that he had a relationship with those who are far from God. In the same way, you and I should be reaching out, sharing in the mission of God to this lost world. And that is the last word that we have looked at starting last week and we'll finish up today, is that you and I are to share. We are to share in the mission. We are to share our lives with other people. We are to share our lives with the lost. Here he says, I have said these things, I have taught you these things, so that you will not fall away, or to keep you from falling away. He knew what the disciples were getting ready to face. He knew that, and he even began to talk about it, is that persecution is coming. Not only that, is that they will kill you and think that they are offering service to God. Now, you and I may not be facing death yet in our walks with the Lord, but in the same way, we do face opposition, and there is persecution that comes. Whether it comes with ridicule, whether it comes with being left out, whatever the case is, there is a battle that you and I are facing. And one of the things that I have tried to help us to see is in this battle, we must run and abide in Jesus, because that is where the strength comes from. Here his promise is that he is leaving. Now, how in the world would it be better, he says, to their advantage that he leaves? And that's really hard. You and I did not get to walk with Jesus physically as these men did. And so, as you could imagine, it would have been really hard for them to understand how that could be better. How could it be better that you leave, that you not be here? How could it be better that we don't continue to get to see the miracles that you're performing? How can that be better? But here he says, it is better, because if I do not leave, then the Holy Spirit will not come. The Helper will not come. And so now, you and I have the power of the Spirit in us because of what Jesus has done upon the cross. Now, he says, I've written these things so that you do not fall away. And an area of Scripture that I thought that we could go to clearly understand this is in some of Paul's letters. Paul's letters were written mostly to a group of people, whether it was the people at Corinth or at Ephesus or at Philippi, a group of people that were struggling in the midst of all that is going on in life. And so Paul, in his letter to Timothy, is actually believed that is the last letter that Paul ever wrote, is in 2 Timothy. And so if you would, turn with me there to 2 Timothy. He tells Timothy, just to kind of give you a little bit of what's going on, is Timothy here is leading the church at Ephesus. He is leading them. This church was started by Paul, and as he went there on a missionary journey and pastored there for a while, some things are happening within the church, and specifically within Timothy. We don't know the details of it, but based upon this letter, Timothy must have been maybe getting worn out or struggling. And so Paul is writing this as an encouragement to him, and he tells him to be strengthened. And he starts off, we're going to start in chapter 2, but he says, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Here he gives Timothy some pictures. You know, growing up, I've told you I was not raised in church, and so when I gave my life to the Lord, I was truly seeking what that meant. which really has helped me as a pastor to know that we must be very specific in what God has really called us to, because otherwise we're kind of left on our own to try to figure it out. And I remember hearing messages about endure or to grow or to become mature, but rarely did I hear how we are to do that. How are we to grow? How am I to mature? How am I to become more like Jesus? Do I just wake up and say, okay, whatever Jesus did, that's what I'm going to do today? I really didn't know how. Well, Paul here to Timothy gives him some pictures, at least somewhat, or metaphors, if you will, of people he is to be like in this pursuit of becoming a complete or at least a mature leader as he's leading this church. And I just want to say and remind us, remember last week Jesus said that you and I are to be witnesses. We looked at Romans 10 and how we have been sent. Jesus said over and over, as the Father has sent me, so I have sent you. And so you and I have been sent, and we've been sent to be witnesses, or at least in Romans 10 it said to preach or to proclaim. And when we preach or proclaim, then people hear. When they hear, some will believe, and when they believe, they will call upon the name of the Lord, and everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved, right? The only way that breaks down is if you and I are not proclaiming, are not being the witnesses that we are called to be. And so here, Paul is laying out for Timothy who he is to be like in this pursuit of maturity, in this pursuit of becoming complete in Christ. And so to kind of wrap all of what we have talked about here in John 15 up, in that you and I are to share in this mission, I want us to look at these metaphors that Paul lays out for us so that you and I can understand how we can be complete in Christ. So, he starts off and he tells him that he is to be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Strengthened. You and I, we must be reminded, as Joshua was, as each one of us, that we are to be strengthened, but we're to be reminded of where that strength comes from. If we're just to be strong on our own, we are quickly reminded how weak we are. But he says to be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ. Now, grace is unmerited. It is we do not get anything to, we can't earn it. We didn't do anything to receive it. We are, in other words, to be reminded, you and I are saved completely by the grace of God. Like, in other words, you did not deserve it. You weren't good enough. You didn't clean yourself up. And so then he says, okay, now salvation can come. But yet it was a gracious gift of God. In other words, he just gave it freely. Now, grace isn't something that we just receive upon when we give our lives to the Lord and then it goes away, but grace is something that we live our lives in the midst of, because if we have sinned since coming to know Jesus, then grace is still needed. Do you see that? So grace is needed for right now, but grace is also needed to empower or to strengthen, because that still is a gracious gift of God that he would give me the Holy Spirit or even continue to talk or lead at all. And so that is great hope that you and I have, is that the grace that we get from God is a continual grace. It is a living hope, if you will, that we are to live our lives in the midst of. And so, but this grace must also be understood, and I think there are times in which you and I will have moments of failure, or we choose to do something that is against God. And I want to encourage you to make sure there should be a repentance that comes, a brokenness over what we've done against God, but it is that grace that covers it. Amen? Now, we don't sin so that we're going to experience more grace on purpose. We have this heart. We have this call to be holy, for I am holy, or to become righteous because he is righteous, right? We are to live our lives as Jesus, but it is that grace that will overcome and give us strength in the midst of. And so if you are here hurting, wounded because of a sin in your life, then confess it to Jesus. turn from it, make sure that you never look to it again, and be encouraged that that grace covers, and be encouraged that you were never good enough to experience that grace ever, and that doesn't change now. That grace continues to cover and lift up and will lead and guide you in your life. Are you tracking with me? Because here's the thing. When I fail, I mean, I'm hard on myself. I will run to the Lord, and I can't believe I just did that. And if I'm not careful, that shame or that guilt will keep me from pursuing, or will keep me from stepping out in faith the next time He leads me, because I'm like, well, how can I do this because I just failed? But it is that grace that I'm reminded of that forgiveness, of that hope that is in Him, that will allow me to then trust Him for the next time. And so I want us to be reminded of that. And I think Paul is reminding Timothy of that, that be strengthened in the grace of Jesus. It is the grace of Jesus that will help you to lead. It is the grace of Jesus that will help you to live this mission that He has given us. And so then he points to what to do. You and I, in this mission that He has called us to, I think we complicate it. What I mean by that is we see the weight of the world, or even yesterday as we were at Pioneer Day and all the people were walked by, you know, you really struggle with what to do. There's so many people. Do I stand out and say, stop, come to know Jesus? You know, you're on a path just like this one and it's probably to hell, turn, or that's where you're headed. No, because people will think that I'm crazy, right? Just as you would. Yeah. Thanks, Roy. I knew that about you already. But what are we to do? We are called to make disciples of all nations. And like Jesus, He spent the majority of His time with a few. And our lives should look like the same. I gave you a scenario, and I want to remind you of this because I think it's easily just blown by. But if I were to lead someone to the Lord every day for 30 years, so I just hope that I have 30 years left of ministry. I may not. I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. But let's just say the Lord gives me 30 years more of life. That would put me at 70, okay? But if I'm able to go all the way to 70, and every day until then, for the next 30 years, I would lead someone to the Lord, that would become 10,950, okay? That's just an easy math, 30 times 365, okay? But if I were to lead one person to the Lord, or just grab one person and decide for the next year that I am going to disciple them. Like, I am going to walk with them. I am going to teach them how to observe all that Jesus has commanded. I'm going to show them how to share the gospel. I'm going to teach them how to read the word to where they can feed on it themselves. I'm going to teach them what it means to make disciples. And then the very next year, we both do it. So now I've spent a year with him, I've walked with him, I've shown him, and now I say, okay, your turn. And then he goes and gets someone else, and then I grab someone else. So now there are two of us grabbing one another. And then we do that for another year, and then the next year, the people we've discipled now goes and grabs someone, and then him and I grab someone. And if that multiplication would continue for 30 years, it becomes over 1 billion people. And all we've done is we've invested in one person for a year and challenged them to make disciples. Now listen to what Paul tells Timothy. This is verse 2. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. 4 generations right here, Paul mentions what you've heard from me. I want so talking about Timothy, to entrust to faithful men who then will be able to teach others. He laid out 4 different, and then listen, those men who will be able to teach others will teach others who will teach others who then will then go and teach others. And so he lays out for him this simple yet obviously, it's been done year after year, person after person. You know why? Because it has reached the ends of the earth. We are fruit of that. And so my question is, will you allow it to stop with you? Here now, multiplication has happened. It's happened to where now it's your life. Someone who was taught has taught you. You have given your life to the Lord. You are continuing to be taught, but are you going to let it stop with you, or are you going to continue to teach someone else? Now listen, in that 10,950 people, that should be celebrated and rejoiced. People have come to know the Lord. But what I'm here to tell you is that along with us proclaiming the gospel, if we will intentionally give our lives to discipling someone else, who will disciple someone else, then the context in which he has called us to do is multiplication, and that will be done through relationships. There is no other way around it. And so here, look at some of the metaphors that he gives. He gives three here: the soldier, the athlete, and the farmer. The first one, the soldier. The soldier, this is in verse 3, he says, share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Suffering is mentioned in every New Testament book of the Bible. Suffering is something that is expected, okay? So he says, share in the suffering as a good soldier. Now, thinking, not having been a soldier, at least like an American soldier, but yet knowing a few and asking questions and trying to understand, when you enlist, I mean, literally, you are now the property of the United States of America. How many soldiers are in here? How many of you have served in the military? Thank you so much for your service. Thank you for what you have done. And in serving, now specifically on active duty, my best friend in high school went and served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the things in which he encountered there, horrific. But one of the things that, because of who he was active duty, when he put on his boots, when he put on his vest in the morning, when he put on his helmet, grabbed his weapon, he knew that he was going out into warfare. Amen? As believers, you and I have for some reason along the way lost the mental understanding, or at least the understanding completely, that you and I also are going to battle today. And because we don't feel like that we are in active duty, we don't even gear up for the battle. In traveling to many different parts of the world, one thing that is evident in other countries is the spiritual warfare. I mean, there is a weight when you go into a voodoo, worshiping, practicing village, that a weight of darkness that is not felt, that at least for me has not been felt in any other way. The spiritual warfare that is at place is evident. It is open. When I was in Suriname, even in the city, we went to a church and there was a pastor walked to me and he says, hey, this woman would like for you to pray for her because she has been experiencing an evil spirit in her life and it has kept her from eating. I was like, how in the world would that happen? But as I began to pray for her, it became evident to everyone in the room of the spiritual warfare that was going on right then. This woman did not, it wasn't something that she just read. It was real to her. And real to everyone else. And what I'm saying is I think that sometimes we get involved in our lives so much that we forget that there is a warfare right now being waged all around us, in this room even, for your mind and your soul. And listen, the enemy cannot take our salvation, but he can keep us silent about it. He can get us so busy that we're unwilling or even don't even realize the fact that our lives, our days, our weeks, and months are wasting away in inactivity. Or, what's worse, inactivity but has no eternal value. There's a war, and it is being waged right now. And he even tells them to, no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. Civilian pursuits, we must be careful. Listen, this is not our home. The kingdom that you are a part of is not here. It is a heavenly one. And it is one that is eternal. And so we must be cautious that we do not get involved in civilian pursuits, that we do not run after the things of this world because it is not our home. In Ephesians 6, verse 10, it says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might, not your own. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm." Listen, the warfare is real. And we must seek and pursue to please the one, to honor. We have in our lives should be seen as an audience of one. We shouldn't be trying to be impress the people around us, to impress the people of this world, because we have an audience of one, and that is God Almighty. And we seek to honor and glorify Him. Amen? Not only are you like a soldier, but you are like an athlete. Here is a picture that Paul uses of an athlete. Just briefly here, but in many different areas of his writing, he points to in Ephesians 6 that we do not wrestle with flesh and blood. Or in 1 Corinthians 9, he talks about we do not box the air, but instead we, and then also in 9, he talks about running the race that has been set before. So what I'm saying is that here he uses this picture of an athlete. The Olympics were very much a real part of their culture, and they ran in such a way and had to, there was specific regulations or obligations upon the athletes running in the Olympics at that time. And what it was is they had to be a true-born Greek. They had to have at least 10 months of training and then stand before a statue of Zeus and swear to it. And then third is they had to run the rules of the event. Here, Paul points out running in such a way to an athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. And so we are to realize that we are a soldier. Next, we are to realize that we're an athlete, and we're to run this race that God has set forth in such a way to win. So we run and prepare and we train and we strive running after the Lord. We run the race marked out. There are no shortcuts. Instead, we are to run it according to the rules. Any race takes perseverance. One of the things, I was talking to one of our members the other day who played college sports, and he says that his coach was running the team, and he says, "I just knew that I was getting ready to pass out and throw up," but he says that was daily. And he says, "So I decided at one practice that, hey, if I just run in such a way and pass out, then I'll get some rest, because then they'll make me, you know, go see the doctor, and maybe I'll sit out the next day, won't have to run." And so he said, "I pushed my body beyond what I thought that it could even do." Oh. And he says, "You know what? I didn't pass out." And he says, "I actually learned that I could go further than what I ever thought that I could." And in that moment, it just kind of struck me. How often do you and I quit when we think we're at the end of ourselves? Like when we think we can't go anymore? How often do we get in a situation and we know what God wants us to do, but we know we're afraid or scared to death that they're getting ready to ask me a question I can't answer, or that what if they think wrong about me, or what if, you know, either they're a close friend or family, so now it's just going to be weird every other time we're around. And so we quit because we think that we're at the end of ourselves. He says, run like an athlete. Run in such a way to win. Run in such a way. Do it according to the rules so that you will win. Last thing he points to is he says, you are to be like a farmer. Now, we have and know a lot of famous athletes. So when I say a famous athlete, who comes to your mind? Michael Jordan. Who else? Okay, Bosworth. Who else? Who? Okay, Serena Williams. Yeah, who? Yeah, that's right. Runner. Even got a runner right there. I like that. So we have these, but does anyone know a famous farmer? Roy. No, we don't know a famous farmer, because a farmer's job, what they do is they work hard, they are committed, and think of the faith that they do. I mean, they plant these seeds and just trust that they're going to grow. But he says, like a farmer, one that is hardworking, one that is disciplined, one that is in faith, one that no matter what storms come, knowing that the crop will come, believing that it will. It takes time. So if you and I are going to share in this mission that God has called us to be a part of, listen, it's going to be hard. It's going to be costly. There's going to be times when we want to quit. There's going to be times when we have no idea if any fruit at all is going to come because of the storms of life that have been in the midst of it. But all of it requires faith. Will you go on a journey with me of us dying to self, of us taking on this mission that God has called us to, which is one of making disciples of all nations? Listen, you will be asked to do things that stretch you. You will be asked to do things that you are going to be ready to quit. You are going to be asked to do things that you've never done before. But listen, this is the life and the adventure that Jesus has called us to. It is one that when He shows up and does things that only He can do, listen, it causes us to worship upon high. He says, I write these things so that you will not fall away. It will keep you from falling away. Knowing that these disciples will be tempted to run with their tails tucked in fear. I write these things so that you will not fall away, but that you will keep the mission at the forefront. And keeping that mission at the forefront, you will experience the presence and power of God. Listen, it's to your advantage that I go, because the Helper's coming. And He's going to come and He's going to convict the world concerning sin. He's going to show people that they have not believed in Jesus. Listen, God is at work and has been at work. And each day when we go out, we can trust that He is continually at work. And so we follow Him and we trust Him. In the way of application, will you plan and protect time with God? God time. Listen, this is the only way you and I will be able to live this life, is the overflow of our time with God. And in that, I just want to say, be connected. Go to a small group. Allow you to be encouraged and sharpened. Listen, if you don't know where to go at the end or close of the service, I will go out to that welcome center, which is just that counter area. And listen, I will point you to the best of my ability. I've gone to about all of them yet. Some of the women's one I haven't gone to yet, although I have gone to some, okay? And so I'll be able to point you to them. Lindsay, we've been traveling around. She was like, are you going to go to the women's group? Yeah, why not? You know, and then I walk in and they all stare at me like, are you supposed to be here? Yeah, why not? You know, so anyway. Will you acknowledge His presence with you and abide in Him? Now listen. If you acknowledge that He is with you, then when He leads you to do something, you can trust Him. Just as the Israelites did when they went into the promised land. Just as Paul is instructing Timothy here to do, is to trust Him. Will you fight, run, and work for the mission of God? Will you realize that you are a soldier and fight for it? Will you run as an athlete and pursue what God has called you to do? Will you work hard, knowing that your labor is not in vain because it is for the souls that are all around you? Will you understand that and allow your heart to be broken for the lost? Listen, it's going to require faith. It's going to require you to do things that you've never done. Trusting. Will you say yes to Jesus today? Now listen, I want you to know and just want to share with you, we are all sinners. We are deserving of only His punishment, but He has given grace. He has made a way that we can know Him by sending Jesus to come and to die in our place. Will you say yes to Jesus? The Spirit here says that when Jesus goes, that the Helper will come and he will convict the world concerning their sin of not believing in Jesus. If you are here and you have not yet believed in Jesus, trusted him as your Lord and Savior, been set free from your sin and been made new, I want to tell you, he offers grace. He died in your place. He rose from the dead. Will you trust him? Will you say yes to him? As we get before the Lord, I want to challenge you to just ask God, God, what would you want me to do? How would you want me to respond in this time? He says that he will send the Spirit who will convict the world concerning sin, concerning righteousness. Some of us, listen, you have not lived the righteous life that he's called you to, or right now living that. And so you know what should happen? We should identify that my life doesn't look like Jesus, and we should repent from it. We should turn from it. We should turn from the sin we run after. We should turn from the way of thinking that we are living in, where it's all about comfort and security and me. Whatever way of thinking that we have that is contrary to the Word of God, we turn from it. We should believe that who he has called us to be, that I'm a soldier. I'm an athlete. I'm a farmer. And I'm to work like each one of those. I'm to be about his mission. I trust him and I pursue him. And so as we get before the Lord, I want to just challenge you to ask him, Lord, how am I to respond? How am I to run after you? Let's trust him. God, we bow before you. And we need you. God, you remind us that when we are weak, we are strong. It is when I've come to the end of myself, knowing that I really can't do anything, that then I rely upon you and your strength. Help us to walk relying upon you. God, I pray that within this room, you would raise up men and women who would give their lives for the sake of the mission. That they would give their lives abiding in you, a walking in you, and connecting with others, making disciples who make disciples. God, I pray that others in this room today would be the day that they trust in you and that they would say yes to Jesus. They would give their lives saying, yes, I will follow. Yes, you are God. Yes, I believe that you have died and rose from the dead. So God, we pray that we would respond as you would have us. Help us to be obedient. In the name of Jesus that we pray.